Wednesday night service, wherever you're at, just ask you to worship God openly tonight.
Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord, and it's your breath. Our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love. Light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord, and it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you.
Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Again, we'd like to welcome all of our first-time guests here to Calvary Gospel Church, if you're watching online. And I'd like for you to turn your attention to the screen. There's a welcome screen there for you. And if you haven't ever watched us online or attended our service, we'd like for you to go to that bit.ly website right there, CGC guest website, and fill out the short form. We'd like to get to know you. We'd like to get some contact information from you. And so if you would do that, that would be great. We'd appreciate that. We also would like to turn your attention to ways of giving tonight. You can give online or by mail or by text. The giving website is there at the top. You can also mail in your offerings and your tithes to 5301 Commercial Avenue, straight to our mailbox. Or you can text to give. Text to give is very easy. You can set up an online account through the texting, and as soon as that's set up, every time that you want to give, you just text your amount into what area, tithes, offering, or missions, and that'll automatically be debited from your account. Very simple and seamless. And so we have a few announcements tonight. We want to make mention that we are canceling our Friday night prayer meeting in person, but we would encourage all the families wherever that you might meet as individual families that you would meet together this Friday and pray as in small groups and small families. And we'd also want to mention that this Sunday we have a special speaker, Jonathan Mackey. Sorry, guys, I'm not looking in the right direction. I'll point to the camera from now on, everybody, if you think I'm just looking out in the space. The sanctuary is a little empty, and it's I'm just announcing to the world out there, wherever you might be. So if I pointed in your direction, just say amen. But Jonathan Mackey will be with us this Sunday. This will be his 100th service at Calvary Gospel Church preaching. So he needs to knock out more than just one. So I know he'll be preaching for AIM and also for VOSIS this Sunday. So with that, we'd like to just go into prayer tonight. There's obviously new orders that are in Dane County and also some things happening in our state with COVID-19, and many of our saints have been affected in some ways, shape, or form, or fashion by COVID-19. Some saints are even struggling tonight with the sickness, so we want to pray for all of those, and especially also for our health industry workers who are working hand-to-hand with COVID-19 every single day. We want to remember all of those people. So wouldn't you just bow your heads in your homes or in your car or at work tonight and just pray out loud, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, tonight that you would touch all of those who are struggling with sickness and disease. God, that you would lay your hand on them and their family, and you would put a hedge of protection around about our saints, no matter where they are in their workplaces, especially those, oh God, who are in the healthcare industry, who are working as nurses and other people who are touching and helping other members of our community with COVID-19. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would protect them, Lord Jesus, from this deadly virus, God, that you would help them, Lord Jesus, to overcome, Lord Jesus, whatever situations that might place them in danger, Lord. I ask you, God, to send your angels and ministering spirits, Lord God, to those people wherever they are, Lord Jesus, that they'll be able to minister to those that they're reaching in the medical field, Lord, tonight. We pray that in the name of Jesus. And also, we'd like to make mention that if you liked Brother Derek singing here tonight, he also just recently released his first single. I know he's a little embarrassed to make mention of that himself, but I will. He's a great musician and singer, and if you would want to hear some more of his music, he's releasing some of that stuff available online on Facebook and other places, so you could look him up. And with that, Brother Derek, would you lead us back into worship tonight?
Thank you, Pastor Jerry. Just thinking about what to sing tonight, and we're obviously living in a very precarious time, but it's also a very exciting time. A time that God is going to really show himself strong. I believe that, and I think a lot of you do too. And just like in the Old Testament, Elijah executed some judgment. Prophets of Baal. I think we're going to see that in our age, that the spirit of Elijah is going to come, or is even here already, and he's going to execute judgment on the spirits of our age, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing that, and I want to be a part of it. So I think of these lyrics here, and it just kind of speaks to the time. that we're living in right now. So let's sing this together.
Days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Oh, the fields are white in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Oh, there's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. So lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making yourself real in this age, God. Thank you for making yourself known. And we thank you, Lord, for having victory in your name, in Jesus' name.
God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved.
Jesus, you are here. Oh. So God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome, yes, He has overcome. We will not be shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. He's carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome, yes, He has overcome. We will not be shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. He's carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome, yes, He has overcome. We will not be shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. So I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. I will live, I will not die. I will declare and lift you high. Christ revealed, and I am healed in Jesus' name. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, say God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out one more time. See, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, and I will live. I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. And I will live, I will not die. I will declare and lift you high. Christ revealed, and I am healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. There's power in your name. There's victory in your name.
Greetings, everyone. Hope you're having an awesome time here this November with the good weather. And I hear that we're having some better weather coming shortly. Thankful for that. Amen. Some of you guys are maybe getting together for early Thanksgiving with your families. I know that there's some rules and regulations to follow. But I trust that you guys are all enjoying your families during this time. It's been a weird year, but you know, if I've been thankful for anything that has happened over 2020, I'm thankful for the ability to be able to be with my family more than I think I have in a very long time, and so it's been a really good thing. Now, unfortunately, on Sunday morning, I'm assuming I missed one important announcement. I think that Brother Grant made mention that I was speaking. And me and my wife, we had went out for breakfast that morning on a Sunday morning. We didn't have to drive into Madison that morning, and somebody was watching our kids, their grandmother. And so we went to breakfast, and then we were watching the service online in the car and went through a kind of a rough spot and lost connection. I guess during that connection, I missed the announcement that I was supposed to be speaking. So Roy Grant had called me just to confirm this week and did not know. So thankful that the Lord who had been speaking to me another sermon during this the last couple weeks, and so I'd like to bring that to your attention tonight. And the sermon title tonight is My Place in This World. And I'd like to turn your attention to John 3:16, and I'm just going to go ahead and read that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Skipping down to verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And just to point out the contradiction between verse 17 and 19, it says that the Son came to the world not to condemn the world. And then verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, speaking of how men love darkness rather than light. This is the paradox of this world. Its creator loves it and is willing to die for it and did die for it. But the world itself hates its own creator and is willing to die fighting him. Isn't that a strange paradox that the world around us hates its creator so much that they're willing to die fighting him, but he's willing to die for them? It's a strange paradox. And John 15:18 says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And so this paradox is fulfilled in us, in our calling as well. And we can find that in Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In the midst of negotiating the paradox of saving those from among those who hate us, we often find ourselves in rough waters, uncharted waters. But the chances of a spirit-led man being at the right place, at the right time, with the right message is always 100%. I'll say that again. The chances of a spirit-led man being at the right place, at the right time, with the right message is always 100%. Now, in this world, we've heard, especially in 2020, so much political math, so much medical math, so much probability and calculations and projections. And I don't know that I've seen any projection or calculation that this world has had to offer me in 2020 come completely true in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But God operates in a much different form of math that transcends just normal calculations. And that's why the probability of a man who's led by the Spirit into the right place at the right time with the right message is always, say it with me at home, 100%. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. But first, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about something that's written in the front of my Bible. I kind of was struggling with how to start this sermon, and I might have just messed myself up trying to open my old Bible School Notes Bible because it's falling apart, and this pulpit does not have enough room to hold all the pages up here on the desk. But I'll try to hold it together for a moment just to read this little piece of information that the Lord was leading me one day about 20 years ago. It says, "We are on a voyage, not a journey. At sea, there is no general set path. We don't know every landmark in our path like a journey. We go by faith and close watch on every instrument available to guide us to our destination. If we get off course and realize that we are in parts of the water, the parts of the charts that say beyond here lies dragons, in the old charts, that's what it would say that people didn't know. If it was uncharted, they would just say it was full of dragons. Then you must rely on the heavenly direction of the stars, and maybe you can chart these waters and make them sure and make sure others know the dangers and maybe the riches." And this is something that the Lord was leading me, kind of like a start of my ministry, that this would be important for me to be able to show people the dangerous parts of the waters that they might end up navigating in. Tonight, I have a couple examples of dangerous waters for tonight's Bible study. I'd like to just read a portion of these stories to you. I'm going to read two stories about two men at sea, and I'll start with Jonah 1:5. It says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmasters came to him and said unto him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be the God that God will think upon us, that we perish not.' And they said every one to his fellow, 'Come and let's cast lots, that we might know who causes this evil to whose cause is this evil upon us?' So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. And then said they unto him, 'Tell us, we pray thee, whose cause this evil is upon us, and what is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou?' They didn't know anything about the man of God that was on their own ship. And he said unto them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land,'" which was very important in the midst of a storm, because they were really wanting to have the sea calm down and somehow make it to dry land. "And then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, 'Why hast thou done this?' For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." So he did not tell them much about their God, his God, besides the fact that he was on the run from him. "And then said they unto him, 'What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea's wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, 'Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, that they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, 'We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee.' So they took up Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging, and then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And from that story, I'd like to take you to another place in Scripture that's similar. Acts 27, verse number 13. Acts 27, verse number 13. This is not Jonah, but this is Paul. A story of Paul. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called an Arachlodon. And when the ship was caught, they could not bear it up into the wind. We let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. This is very tough reading, but I'm going to try to read a little slower so that you can get the gist of the story tonight. Which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling from the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. So it was 120 feet and somewhat 90 feet later. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship in this 90-foot deep water, when they had let down the boat into the sea, this is a small boat that was attached to the big ship, under color as they were as they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." In other words, we all need to stay together in the ship, or we can't be saved. And then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat, this was the lifeboat, and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them to take meat, and saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried, continuing fasting, and having taken nothing. Now, this is probably because the boat was rocked so hard that they couldn't keep their lunch down. So for 14 days, this huge storm had rocked the boat to such a degree that no man was willing to eat. Wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from your head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. In other words, everything that they were, the cargo, they cast it all out to try to lighten the load. And when it was day, they knew not the land. In other words, this is the 14th, 15th day into this journey. They are in a busted up ship. Everything's broken. They have no control of it. They don't have even anchors. They don't have rowboats to get out any longer. They've cast out everything to eat. There's nothing left. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder's bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. I skipped one verse. And when it was day, they knew not land, that they had discovered a certain creek with a shore into which that they were minded, in if it were possible to thrust the ships. In other words, they had no control of the ship. They tried to rudder it straight into the ground if they possibly could. They didn't know if they could. And following into a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart struck fast and remained immovable, but the hinder part was broken into violence of waves. In other words, they crashed on the reef in the middle of deep waters, and the ship was busted into pieces. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, of which Paul was one of. See, this was a prisoner's ship. They wanted to kill the prisoners that were on the ship, lest that any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they all escaped, all safe to land. It's a crazy story. It's a lot of verses to read, but I wanted to read all of it because it's so illustrated. It's such a crazy story. What we have here are two ships in turmoil, one sailing into the will of God and one sailing out of the will of God. Two men overboard, one man in the will of God and one man out of the will of God. The same Aegean winds, the same Mediterranean waters, two men in deep. One left to float to a beach only to be bitten by a viper upon arrival. The other carried off by his fish to the beach he should have landed upon originally. Two men from the tribe of Benjamin, one holding fast to their aristocratic traditions and religious racism, and one letting go of his past and prejudices and to embrace his mission to be the apostle to the Gentile people which he once hated. Two men with a calling, one engaged, one disengaged. Two men in the deep, in the depths, one with a selfish attitude and one with a sacrificial attitude. One man with an excuse and one man with a purpose. Literally nothing on the horizon to be seen by either man, no hope. Can you imagine the progression of prayers in the water? Paul no doubt thought of Jonah while treading water. Maybe even hoped a fish would come up and swallow and rescue him. Jonah, no doubt, on the other hand, wished that he would have simply drowned, treading water in the deep, lost and forgotten. He wanted just to be thrown overboard. Two men chosen by God, both fulfilling their God-designed appointments in much different ways. I struggled with this for years, but have spent some time around shrewd business owners who understand the human condition much better than I do. They use those that are willing to be used. They leverage abilities as much as possible. And they measure the bottom line often. God's bottom line has always been souls. Sometimes the bottom line reveals that rascals can get the job done sometimes. The Bible is full of flawed rascals that God used mightily. While bad character always comes with a high price, interest and lifelong payments, not every day of a rascal is a bad one. Some men are marked by two or three good days, like our friend Jonah. Even Jonah was mentioned by Jesus many times. God uses boneheads sometimes. I've known men of exquisite character who struggled to accomplish much for God. And I've known rascals who were questionable in many situations who sparked great revivals for God. Hot messes. Scripture is full of hot messes. We would rather make sense of it. Shouldn't everyone that God uses be perfect? No. The truth is, not one of us is. In fact, many of us are more like Peter, more like David or Job or Paul in our weaknesses and shortcomings. You might find us complaining a little bit about our situation. Grace makes up so much. Sometimes we forget how much grace is added to our lives. It's like the fifth grade dodgeball pickup game in gym class. God is the captain. And he looks across the lineup and he calls your name. Surprised you should be. You took one in the face on the last round, and the round before that you lobbed one over lazily and was caught by Tiny Tim. You should be last pick, but we all should be last pick. But God sees something in us that we don't always recognize or realize. Sometimes it's important. Someone's purpose, someone's amazing talent, a crucial moment that they've been placed in life. It's weird how it all works out. It's like 100% chance that God is going to do something with you, regardless if you're a Jonah or a Paul. He's going to try to use you if you're willing to let him. God needs you to check back in and stop crying like a baby and get back into the game and throw the dodgeball. 2 Corinthians 11:23 says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of the church. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities." Now this was written, second letter to the Corinthians, the 27th chapter of Acts was actually on his way to Rome. So that was his fourth shipwreck that wasn't mentioned in this scripture. Paul had a lot to complain about. What did Jonah have to complain about? The only thing that Jonah had to complain about was people obeying his preaching. God truly does send the rain on the just and the unjust. When at sea, the rain can get very dangerous, perilous, treacherous, tumultuous. Oh, for the comfort of a well-worn path, or for a sign of direction, or marker of progress, or even identity of where we are. Oftentimes, it's not so. It's not to be. If I could preach tonight to the future, I could only preach to uncertainties. We don't know what the future holds. If we've learned anything from 2020, we know that we are not in control. It's like being out on the deep. It's not like a well-worn path or a journey where we can just follow the markers, follow the footsteps of other people. But sometimes we're out there alone and by ourselves, trying to figure out the stars that we cannot see from the storms. We cannot tell what direction land is. Sometimes our ship is broken. No doubt many of us are struggling to build and to rebuild our boats while we tread the deep, hoping for the day that life could somehow be normal and comfortable again. From one day to the next, we are not called to comfort, let me remind you tonight, besides that of being with one another for this voyage together. That's the only comfort the Lord guaranteed for us. Comfort one another with these words. How many times have you read that in Scripture? Unfortunately, for some men, they would rather captain their own mud ship rather than sail together to a new world as a second mate of a Santa Maria. It takes a lot of work for us to come together in unity. It takes a lot for us to value each other's opinions. It takes a lot for us to see each other's ministries, to look upon each other and recognize that nobody should leave the ship. We have to do this together. The selfishness of Jonah was just throw me out. He wanted to disengage from his purpose, his calling. He could have said, let's turn this ship around, but he didn't. He said, just throw me out. I'll tell you, until you come into unity with your pastor, you'll never be approved to do your calling. Until you come in unity with the body of Christ, you cannot know what your calling is. And even I'll go further, until you come into unity with your spouse, with your husband or your wife, you will never fully be able to fulfill your calling. We have to do this together. That's the way that God designed this thing. I like the attitude of Paul in the ship. Paul looked upon those some odd nearly 300 men as his own men. He took ownership of them. Even though he was their prisoner, he valued their lives. Jonah only valued one thing, and that was getting his way. There are reasons good men disengage, back away, or worse, walk away, backslide. Usually, it is directly tied to one of the three relationship systems I mentioned above, your relationship with your pastor, relationship with the body of Christ as a whole, a relationship with your spouse or your other loved ones in your family. Let me remind you that both men were chosen of God. If I had any purpose for this sermon tonight, it would be simply to try to stop you, if you're a Jonah, from being a bonehead and living your life in such a way that God forces you into your calling, making everyone miserable that you're with. You don't have to live that way. I'd also speak to the Pauls who have suffered many things and been faithful and have tried everything they can to try to witness and to reach those around them and can't understand why the storms come. Just wait a little longer. God will show you. But you have to be faithful to the end. See, we are to be in this world, but not of this world. Just remember, besides all that, you have been chosen to do this. You're the head and not the tail. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And you should rise up and not bow down. Remember the Sermon on the Mount. We read that many times, but it was a private sermon only to the 12. The Sermon on the Mount wasn't for everyone to hear. The Beatitudes and all of that, that was just for the highest level of leadership at the time. And I don't want to go into all of that tonight because I'm running a little out of time. But I'd like to take your attention to 1 Corinthians 4. Could you put that on the screen for me, Jess? I appreciate it. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, the stewards of the mysteries of God. This is that same Paul that had a lot to complain about, that same Paul that endured such a crazy shipwreck. This word ministers right here, if you would to look that up in the original Greek, it means something that I wouldn't refer to as a minister. It really means someone who is at the bottom of a ship with a row in their hand, an oar, and they're in chains, chained together with a team of people, usually prisoners. It was their responsibility as the ministers to row the ship. The ship, if you can imagine with me for a moment, looking in on that situation, all of these prisoners chained together with one purpose in mind, is to push the ship forward in the right direction. If one person didn't do their job, they would simply go in circles in the middle of the sea. If you can imagine with me for a moment, the ministers in harmony, it's kind of off topic, but even the slave ships, they say the slave ships, when they came over from Africa, that's where you get a lot of the old spiritual hymns from that time frame, because they would sing as they rowed the ships, because it was their duty to make sure to push those oars together in unity, in harmony. And so when Paul speaks of this, knowing that he was shipwrecked at least four times, How many times was he chained together with a fellow prisoner? Let a man so account of us as the ministers or the ore masters of Christ, the stewards of the mysteries of God. How is it that Paul thought that that was something that was something to be celebrated? It's just an interesting thing to me. Ephesians chapter 5 chapter 4 verse number 1 says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. I think of this same thing. I feel like that Paul might have some things to say to us that struggle with our calling in the midst of a pandemic and in the midst of a lockdown situation. You see, Paul was locked down for much of his ministry. He was chained down. In fact, he was not able to go to all the places he wished to. In fact, many of the letters that we read from Romans all the way to Revelation in there, Paul's talking about many of those places he would like to visit, but instead he had to write letters because he couldn't go because he was a prisoner. A prisoner of the Lord. But it was in that situation that he was struggling with inside of himself in the midst of not having any control of the surroundings, having unlimited variables that he was not in control of. The only thing he could do was write these letters, and he sent these letters hoping that they would be received by the recipients. This prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. And then this is the part of this we always skip to. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called of one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. This is Paul again recognizing his brothers, recognizing the gifts of those around him, recognizing the people he called his family, his brothers, his sisters in Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, skipping down. Verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto the perfect man, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is Paul's heartbeat. I'm just speaking to you tonight about the difference between two ministers, the difference between two men with a calling. The difference between them was simply their attitude on how they looked upon the world. And I ask you tonight, if you're trying to find your place in this world, that you would adopt the philosophies of Paul and not of Jonah. Jonah was in it for himself. Jonah didn't want to minister to people he didn't care for. Jonah hated Nineveh. He hated Ninevites. He didn't even want to go in their direction. But Paul, even though in the first part of his ministry he wanted to reach his Jewish brothers and his Jewish sisters for the gospel, he struggled with it. And eventually he just turned to whoever would hear him. And he preached Christ unto the Gentiles and became the apostle to the Gentiles. He would have went to the Jews, but instead he went the opposite direction to the Gentiles. He was in this world, but not of this world, chosen by God. If I was going to have a purpose for the sermon tonight, I would stop you from being a bonehead in your ministry, if I could. Wouldn't you want to be remembered as a Paul and not a Jonah? Jonah was effective for a few days, but Paul is effective even today, as I even read his letters today. It's in these times you have to know who you are and where you stand and what it is that you have been placed on this planet to do. What is your purpose? What is your why? Why you are here? And why you know what you know? And why God has chosen you to do what God has called you to do? Can you believe in yourself when no one else does? Can you trust the word that God has spoken to you, specifically to you? The whole world will come against you. And when you are successful, the world will discredit you. And when you fail, the world will celebrate your failures. The world hates you. But there's some of them out there. Some of them that want to hear what you have to say. You have to remember this is not your home. You are on a mission. And the gospel is the bottom line, and it's all that really matters. God is looking for someone who will reach some souls, bonehead or not. Besides, you're chosen to do this. God chose you. To be out in the deep treading water is a scary, scary thing to me. One time I almost drowned, saving a friend of mine, my brother-in-law, from drowning. I nearly drowned myself. And I realized the amount of trauma that can happen in just a few moments. I can't imagine treading water for a couple of days. And I feel like that there's many people that are listening to the sermon tonight, even though it's so oddly put together, you feel like maybe you've been treading water. And you don't know what to do. But I'm encouraging you, what has the Lord said to you? What has the Lord spoken to you? What has the Lord called you to do? Some of the sermon is coming out because I've been very frustrated with life itself lately, even with my own family, just a lot of frustrations, and I've been the bonehead lately. And I'm starting to look at myself and realize this isn't what I want to be remembered for. I want to be remembered for including everybody and not discrediting anyone for what they offer and what they can do for the kingdom of God. I want to be the one that helps someone up and not pushes them down. I want to be remembered for being the person who encouraged someone to do something better and not to be the loner who ends up, you know, like Jonah did at the end, where God was just having to talk to him by himself because he didn't want to hang out with anybody. Amen. So tonight I'm asking you, wherever you're at, if Brother Derek would like to come, I'm asking you tonight, I guess, sum it all up tonight in just one question here for you. Now you pick your question, which one it is for you. If you're a Jonah, I'm wanting to know, what is your excuse? What's your excuse? And if tonight you're a Paul, what is your purpose? What is your purpose? In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the raging sea, in the midst of the deep, in the midst of treading water, in the midst of the rain, I'm asking you tonight to remember what it is that God has asked you to be, to call, what he's called you to do. Even Jonah changed his mind in the sea. I'm asking you tonight, in the midst of COVID-19, in the midst of crazy elections, in the midst of everything that's happening, 2020, in the midst of all of these things, what has God asked you to do? What's it going to take for you to get back to the beach you're supposed to be on? What's it going to take? I'm just asking you tonight to make that decision, and let's let Derek lead us into worship tonight.
My faith will stand, and I will call upon your name. my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where fear may fail and fear surrounds me, never fail, and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, you are mine.
Concludes our Wednesday night Bible study. We would like to thank all of our guests from all over Wisconsin who have joined us online, also all over Illinois and Missouri and Kansas and Virginia and New York. And we also want to make mention that we are not having our Friday night prayer service, so please find yourself someplace at home to pray with your family together. And just enjoy your family during this time where You know, we aren't able to meet together at church at the moment until some of these cases are healed. These people are healed in Jesus' name. But until then, we trust that you all are trusting the Lord at home and worshiping with us online. And thank you for tonight for joining with us. Amen. You are dismissed in the name of Jesus.